Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson, and I'm joined by Luke Moore. Say hello, Luke.
Hello.
Check this out. Can you hear it? Oh.
Good news
it's
for those
theremin.
Of you.
It's me, theremin. I've got it working.
Good news for those of you who are fed up of my voice. I will be replaced this week by a theremin. So, enjoy.
I'm trying to think what you can play on a theremin. It's just a Star Trek theme, isn't it?
I feel like you should be getting better sounds out of this than that.
I've literally just turned on for the first time. Hang on. Let me take it down a bit.
Describe what you're doing. Describe how you're making the sound.
Well, a theremin is like a big car aerial. A big car aerial that misbehaves itself and you make funny noises. I've gone too high. I've gone too high. That's going off. That has to leave us. That has to go, unfortunately.
I love it if you couldn't turn it off.
Enjoyable, love. Very enjoyable.
And Pete, and promised. Promised on Monday, delivered on Thursday.
Promised on Monday. Look, we are the people who write checks that our arses can cash. You just heard Pete and his first flirtations with a theremin.
So I mean, it's definitely my favourite version of the Craig David song. Met Pete Donaldson on Monday, talked about a theremin on Tuesday.
Yeah.
He was playing Thursday. The damn thing on Thursday and Friday and Saturday. We chilled on Sunday.
Yeah, by the time it comes round, that's what's happened, really. Oy, oy, oy. How have you been? Luke, you all right? It's Thursday.
Pretty good.
The weather has taken a little bit of a turn, but we won't let that dampen our spirits.
No way, Jose.
Mm.
Not when there's a theremin at play.
I know, right? And theremins could be installed in a wall. You wouldn't even know it existed. I'm trying to think who was the last person I ever saw play a theremin alive. I'm thinking it might... Was it the guy from the Hold Steady? Would he have had a theremin at any point?
It sounds Seems like the kind unlikely. Of thing he would do. No, I think you it reckon? Sounds like the kind of thing he would do. Yeah, for sure, man. Definitely. I can't vouch, but it sounds like it might be right.
Who's the mid-noughties guy who did the song Magic Position? You put me in the magic position, darling.
Oh, Patrick Wolf.
Incredibly sexual. Patrick Wolf. He was incredibly graphic with his sexual dancing on stage. I think he had a theremin.
I've met Patrick Wolf a few times.
Is he nice?
The context to me meeting him is that he was signed to, well, I don't know if he still is, but he was signed to Mercury Records, which right. is an imprint of the label I worked at for a while. And he used to pop in and he was looked after by the lady in the office next door to me. So I would see him occasionally. I never really spoke to him that much, but he seemed all right. I mean, he seemed quite affected, yeah. if that's okay for me to say, but I'm sure he's he's a lovely chap.
It was the mid-noughties. We were all down the Hawley.
Exactly, Pete. And the thing is, one thing that I am a firm believer in, and I do think this is really important when it comes to musicians and artists and actors or whatever, is that the role they play in society, they should be weird and controversial and a bit needy and a bit strange and perhaps a little bit even, dare I say, in the nicest possible way, perhaps even a little bit problematic sometimes because they're supposed to be boundary-pushing artists. You know, it's like Bill Hicks says about New Kids on the Block. Oh, well, New Kids on the Block, you know, it's music and it's entertainment that you can be safe with your kid. I don't want it to be safe. I like Bill Hicks said, I want a guitarist from a rock and roll band puking up in the doorway. That's what they're supposed to do, right? That's the point of it. It's supposed to be genre busting. It's supposed to be challenging. And I feel like sometimes people lose sight of that. I don't want to see David Bowie, God rest him. I never wanted to see him going to buy a pint of milk. We've said this before. It's not his role to be doing that. It should be agenda bending, space traveling superstar. That's the point of it. So if Patrick Wolf wants to dye his hair pink and do weird stuff, play his theremin, great, good on him. That's what I say.
Put his hands down his pants during a performance.
No, you take it. Depends where he is.
Exactly,
that's better. Yeah. Absolutely clear. If he wants to rub bread around the toilet, let him do it.
Oh, dear. I forgot about that. Absolutely horrific. I wonder what that man's doing now. I mean, like, you know, this story was from America, wasn't it? Like,
no, I think it was the UK, actually.
Was it? Oh, right, yeah. Okay. I mean, he's no good in a COVID space, to be honest. He's no. getting that kind of caper. You do not want that man anywhere near your toilet.
No. I would. I mean, well, can I just make this absolutely clear? I don't want him anywhere near my toilet when there's not a pandemic. Because all it feels like to me is it's going to involve a lot of cleanup.
Cleanup on aisle.
Why is there breadcrumbs all over the bathroom?
Well, look, if you are going to go to see Patrick Wolf or any gig person, it's probably pretty good to... there is a Japanese musician, Masami Akita. Merzbo, his name is. He performed live in Taipei back in 2013. Somebody sort of unearthed this video of while he's playing in the crowd, a man is brushing his teeth. We've seen people brush their teeth before in public. The man at Chelsea springs to mind. There's a shot of the crowd, and a man is brushing his teeth, not just with toothbrush. He's also using toothpaste and water as well. He's keeping it clean during the performance. It really is.
What did you say? What did you say? The context of this was? Where was he?
He was in Taipei. There was a Japanese musician who played in Taipei, Merzbo, and there's just a white guy in the front row of the audience brushing his teeth and just, you know... Just
yeah, but if it's at a festival, that's not hugely surprising, is it?
I don't think it was at a festival. I think it was just today. I think it was in an auditorium, so to speak. It was
push for time. Got a multitask.
Experimental noise monster Merzbo requires a higher level of dental hygiene from his fans. That's all I'm saying.
Right? Yeah, absolutely right.
Quite frankly.
Have you ever seen some
of you lot should have a good look at yourselves via the mouth, I say.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's probably fair. Have you seen Fuck Buttons live, Pete?
I think I have, actually. Would they have played at ATP?
They would have done. Their setup was like a big table with a lot of different stuff on it, and they would make noises with the different bits and pieces to make the songs. And I wondered whether at some point maybe a teeth brush into the mic might have been one of the sounds. If you're listening, either of the chaps from Fuck Buttons, then get in touch. One of them's called Andrew. I can't remember what the other one's called. Get in touch if you're listening and let us know if you ever brushed your teeth to make a sound.
I watch a lot of I don't actually watch it, somebody recommended it quite recently, ASMR, you know, those videos where people just kind of stroke.
Yeah, I don't really get that. Have I asked you about that before?
Probably. Have you ever sort of like, you just never got your big noise cancelling headphones out and had a listen to some ASMR?
I know what it is and I've definitely sampled it, but it's not, I don't really know what it's supposed to do, and I didn't really enjoy it. I thought it was a bit of a muchness really.
Right. It didn't sort of make you tingle. It just makes you kind of like tingle. It's like it kind of gets your spine up, kind of like, ooh, like kind of like, if you're a bit sensitive to kind of like noises and sounds and all that business.
Stop it.
If you want to clip this, I'm stuck in your hair. Something you promised on Monday, Luke, was
speaking of sounds and weird sounds,
a man who can make a perfect, is it a car alarm sound?
Right, listen, people just need to listen to this, right, Pete? And I just need to give them some context because they can't see it. The noise you're going to hear sounds like a man being interrupted by a car. Now, he's not speaking in English, and it sounds like he's going to be interrupted by the car. He isn't being interrupted by the car. He is making the car sound. And it is absolutely incredible.
It really, really is. Here we go.
Buzina, that's a jeepy.
Por quê?
How is he doing that? How on earth is he doing that?
And it's the face he makes when he's doing it, which I enjoy as well. He's really proud of himself.
Oh, are we going to give that a tweet? That's just an unbelievable sound from an unbelievable man.
Yeah, he's not. He's and the thing is, here's why so there's a lot of reasons why I like it. One, because just fucking listen to it. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, the face he makes is really adorable. Three is that he's doing it in what looks like an underground car park at an airport. And what I like to think is happening is that, like a minor bird, he's worked in that environment for such a long time and worked on his skill that he's developed it in situ and now can perfectly mimic it. So what I would say is, could we put him in another employment environment and see if he can do it in another way?
Mm, I put him in office and make a sound of a photocopier,
printer,
maybe, or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, printer.
How can we challenge this guy to in a different environment to see if he's a one-trick pony or whether he can do a lot more? What's your feeling, Pete?
Yeah. I mean, he could do our adverts for us. He could like sit in our advert space and
he could do our shows for us.
He could do our shows. He could mimic the underwhelming output that is the Luke and Pete show every week. I think that
wouldn't
be
as big a challenge, would it?
No, what's easier than learning how to be? I mean, to be honest, a car alarm is so universal. I think it probably would probably count as the most transferable.
It's a horn, though, not an alarm, isn't it?
Have. All right, car. Well, yeah, but how does your car alarm sound? Does it not just activate the horn? What's it? Well, yeah, but it's still coming out. So your horn will still be produced with the same. If you knock into a car and it says a car alarm off, it's sometimes just the horn loads of times. Honk, 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 honk. It's the same microchip
that's
making
Pete,
the sound.
Is how you are living in 2020 that you are still so divorced from the car.
What do you mean?
You've got no frame of reference.
What do you think a horn is in 2020? If you get in a modern car, what do you think that is? It's just a big speaker. They're not going to put a honky air, you know, like you're not passing air through a horn, are you? It's just a big speaker, isn't it? It's like a big tannoy. Can make loads of noises if it wanted to.
You know what my noise makes?
What?
Like that. It's like the car in Police Guff. Academy.
Mine is a literal MP3 clip of that man doing the car horn noise. Car horn noise.
It's like reality mimicking fiction. I've got a question for you. But before I ask you it, a little bit of background, if you wouldn't mind affording me that luxury. So the thing that typifies the Luke and Pete show is me and you talking crap, weird things about Japan, certain sciencey things that we don't understand, all the usual stuff, right?
Mm.
Something else that typifies our output is the fact that you regularly get chastised and teased by me for being a big fan, despite your advancing years, of the provincial indie bar. Is that fair so far?
Right, okay. That's fair, yeah.
Indie bar, indie club.
There's music in my heart. Yeah, music in my heart.
So what's apparently more likely to happen going forward due to the pandemic is that not only have we seen people driving to watch football games in their cars, we're seeing a prevalence of drive-in cinemas. We are now apparently going to see drive-in nightclubs. So apparently in France and Germany, people have sat in their cars to be a part of church services. And there's also been in the town of Schüttorf in Germany, the first drive-in rave happening, attended by 500 people. First question, Pete, what do you think about that? Secondly, could you see it being adapted to an indie club? And would you attend with a friend, of course, because you don't have a car?
Well, the problem with any provincial indie nightclub is that at any point someone will play Rage Against the Machine, and that can only be a bad thing. Then you are talking about a full circle demolition derby, cars smashing into each other.
Do you remember that game on the PC? I used to love it.
I do remember, yeah, Destruction Derby, yeah. You're just looking at that, basically. Cars getting totaled, people getting seriously injured. So it's not an ideal situation. You know, you're going to have to be very conservative with your playlist. No Limp Bizkit, no Deftones, no, you know, you can't be slamming into people. But that's it.
I'm Bell and Sebastian, wouldn't it?
Yes, Bell and Sebastian, a little bit of that, lovely. Yeah, anything a bit fey and twee,
yeah,
and possibly from Sweden.
So the thing is,
Alphabet.
Here's what I don't get about this drive-in rave. There's an interview in the news story I read with one of the attendees. And she said, yeah, it was fun. They were dancing in their car. It took a bit of a while to get used to, but it was good. And then she said, we were pointed to a parking space and they broadcast the music through our car radio. And it was really fun because we got to meet new friends. It's like, well, how are you getting to meet new friends if you've got to stay in your car? And that brings me to my central point, which is, Pete, if you're going to an indie club, for example, to meet new people, this is going to negate that, isn't it?
I mean, I'm not doing that, am I?
But why are you going then?
Yeah. Because they play good music.
Do it at home.
Do it at home. Oh, your little listening party's pathetic. You just have a little drink. And to be honest, I've not been in the club for over a year. All right? So, but if I find myself with a friend and mates, if there is a place that plays all right music, and they're never clubs. They're never clubs these days because people don't like dancing. People have got something against dancing. I just like a nice bar with nice drinks, what has got some good music on. All right, so I can have a chat with my friends and just people watch because that is the greatest gift of all. Watching
how often have you been to an indie club
debase
in the last calendar year?
Did I visit Cardiff to do anything on there? But the modern indie club, I can't figure them out. They're just all noise, Luke. It's upsetting.
Well, listen, we might hear more about that specific club in Cardiff in the email section after the break.
Lovely.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, it's the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson, and I'm joined by my compatriot slash character assassinator, Mr. Luke
Tormentor.
Moore. Tormentor.
I loved that earlier before the break because I got to do like a proper Gimlet Media style cliffhanger.
Yes, I like it. Yeah, and you'll find out more about Steve and his leg next.
Someone who's emailed in using hello@lukeandpeach.com is Luke from Cardiff, who says, hello to Luke, hello to Pete. Hello. Been loving the show during lockdown.
Cool. Doesn't love it at any other point.
he's not bothered other than that. Last time I got in touch was regarding Cardiff's local street legends. I kind of vaguely remember that. But he says, in fact, I ran into Pete at closing time at Club E4 Back last year when he crossed the 7 for a big old piss up.
Oh, that's all right. That's fine. That was fun. That was me. My mate Matty, who I don't get to see very often. He's got a bad knee.
You can't see him because of his knee.
He can't get around anymore because his knee's buggered. But I don't get to see him. We grew up together. me, Matty, and little Ali Gonzalez, and we went out to Cardiff. I've never been out in Cardiff. I was a little bit underwhelmed, to be honest. I hate to slag off Cardiff, but it just seemed to be a lot of walkabouts and muscle men. It just felt a bit more provincial than I was expecting. This, obviously, you know, we stayed in Cardiff Bay on a mate's house, and it was very lovely. But I just thought the nightlife was a bit provincial.
Yeah, my memory of going out in Cardiff is a load of men with big muscles and tight t-shirts. Mm.
Rugby, innit?
Yeah, rugby. Exactly.
Big lads.
But Luke from Cardiff goes on to say, James, on the subject of inappropriate songs, James Corden did a small run of adverts for car insurance firm Confused.com. The tagline for the company was "Drivers Win." They decided to use the fantastic T-Rex song "Get It On." But I guess no one at the ad agency could remember that Mark Bolan died instantly in a car crash in 1977.
Yeah, not ideal, is it?
That is what I would call an own goal.
Didn't a member of the BBC try and contact Mark Bolan for comment? A little while.
Good luck with that.
That was a big one. Yeah,
I believe he tragically wasn't wearing a seatbelt in a Mini, and I think the car veered off the road and smashed into a tree, sadly, and he died instantly.
Yeah, there's a little kind of shrine for him. Have you ever seen the Mark Bolan TV show? Well worth a watch on YouTube. Just search for it. I think he had six episodes. I think Boy was on one of them.
They were pals.
Talks a bit like this, doesn't he? He's got a very sort of posh, soft way of speaking. And hi, guys. And he sort of presented this raucous music show. Hello, everyone. And it was almost like sketches from this whispering man. Give it a Google. Mark Bolan, his TV show on I think it was the BBC in the 70s. It was a weird watch. It really was very strange indeed. Everyone just looks blaked. Everyone just looks stoned. It's wonderful.
I think he's one of the most underrated songwriters and pop artists around, actually, because the sheer amount of amazing banging tunes that he wrote and recorded, I think, goes fairly underreported. Possibly because there were so many other giants around at the same time. He comes in the sort of late 60s, and there's obviously huge artists around then, and obviously early 70s is when he really comes into his own. But there was sort of this kind of fusion of like quite androgynous, glammed up blues. It's glam rock, but it's also blue. And it's pop as well. And one thing I deplore in musical artists is this idea of obfuscation because they can't write really good melodies, because it's quite hard to do. So being a really good pop artist is hard to do, chiefly because the catchiness of the melody is really kind of difficult to obtain. And I think these days that's been taken to ridiculous levels because, you know, a lot of it's written by computer, a lot of it's written by with AI help, and they calculated that you've got about 8 seconds to hook someone in if they're going to stick listening to your song or not, because attention spans are so small. But then, I mean, some people can just do it. And Mark Bolan was just amazing at making these really, really instantly catchy, timeless pop songs. And I think he deserves a bit more credit than he gets, personally.
Yeah, people don't talk about him in T-Rex. I think the problem, it was just the genre that he obviously kind of inhabited in the main was glam, and it became very old very quickly, didn't it? And
dated badly,
You would only sort of get a celebration of that. I think the last time anybody really spoke about it was like around, remember when they released Velvet Goldmine?
Yes.
With members of Pulp and I think...
Didn't have, his name, Ewan McGregor in it?
It did have Ewan McGregor in it. I think it also, did it have one of, who's the bloke who's in, the Peaky Blinders, that bloke.
Oh, Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy. Did it have Cillian Murphy in that? I want to say he was in that as well.
I haven't seen it.
But it was, remember they had like that album where they had a lot of indie artists covering like the songs of the day. But it was an all right film, I seem to recall. Again, nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about that. Okay, British film, which is a very thin field indeed.
David Bowie said about Mark Bolan, what I saw in him was raw talent. I saw genius right from the minute and the hour I met him.
Yeah.
So high praise indeed.
Well, if you could hear him. Hello there.
I need to go and check that out. I'll do that.
Do have a listen. Do have a watch of that. It's very weird. It's like one of the weird, like, TV shows were weird back then. But you like go, how the fuck did this get? How did nobody go, this is ridiculous?
Yeah, but exactly, Pete. And the fascination around that for me, yeah, is just the idea that obviously TV's invented a long time before that. But of course, as would happen in any sort of revolutionary development, particularly in entertainment, it takes quite a long time for people to work out what's good about it and how to use it and stuff. And I think definitely throughout that era, there's just a load of weird stuff that exists on TV that you just never, ever see now. And it can be across all sorts of different genres. Have you ever seen this is all on YouTube as well. Have you ever seen, I think to be fair, it's just a regional TV program, but it still went out of this thing called the Indoor Sports League.
No, what's that? Oh, like
So basically, it's presented by Fred Truman, this Yorkshire, I don't want to undersell the guy. I mean, amazing cricketer for Yorkshire and England, like legendary cricketer. And he kind of turned into a bit of a media guy for a bit in the 70s. I think it's the 70s. But he's just absolutely changed nothing about him whatsoever. So he's presenting this TV show, which is about all the pub sports that used to be very prevalent in that part of the world, or actually quite all over the country during the 70s. And it'll be things like indoor skittles, bar billiards, darts, table football's in there as well. And he's there presenting this TV show with a big tankard of ale and a pipe and a cardigan on. And he's just wandering around interviewing people and covering pub games where they've got people from all over the country to compete in this indoor sports league tournament. It's and it is actually quite good. It's quite interesting. But on the other hand, it is the weirdest thing you've ever seen. Even now, Pete, with all the TV channels we get and all the different platforms to watch sport on, no one's ever televised like a bunch of guys from the pub playing table football. But they were doing it in the 70s. That's what I'm saying. Check it out. It's absolutely mad. And it goes on for ages as well. It's the most slow-paced TV you will ever see.
The air rich with cigarette smoke. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It's proper. It's a proper fog all over it.
We better squeeze in an email before we get the end of the Thursday ep. Edward has got in touch. Hi guys, I'm sure you realised at the time that your discussion around how many holes a straw has was actually a discussion around homeomorphisms from the mathematical field of topology.
Huh.
That wiki link that he's appended, just Google homeomorphism, will go over your heads. I did a maths degree and most of it goes over mine now. But the important thing is the GIF in the top right. Basically, two objects are homeomorphic if they can be deformed into each other. So like the donut and a coffee cup can be homeomorphic because you can change it into one another. I think we can agree a donut has one hole, and I think we can agree that a straw can be deformed into a donut. Therefore, a straw has one hole. Amazingly, maybe not giving Pete enough credit here. Thank you, Ed. The explanation Pete initially gave about squishing the straw down was not only 100% correct, but exactly how mathematicians would think about the same questions.
And yes, Pete.
Stepped in to derail things. Occasionally, a blind squirrel finds a nut, a loss to the sciences. That, Pete, I would say that there's something very important, I think, about my background that would pertain to me having a slight one-up on Luke about forming 3D primitives, the torus, the cylinder, the cuboid, is that I do have a bit of a background in doing a bit of 3D design. So I think how I would form a particular object would be how I would I reckon that helps me a little bit, because how I would produce it, either using a boolean or extruding a spline sort of curve, I think that gives me a bit of a help. But it was 4 years at university.
I think for my part, Pete, I failed to acknowledge that or remember that.
Yes.
And so I all I can say is I will happily on this subject defer to you. You're absolutely right, it sounds like. I'm not a math kind of guy or a science guy. I apologize for poo-pooing your suggestion and undermining your theory. And the only caveat I'll add to that is I was playing the numbers game.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. There was no, I had no right to hit that. Zidane.
Yeah.
I had no right to hit that.
You've basically put your head down, closed your eyes and smashed a lever off it and it's gone in the top corner. Good on you. You deserve it. And that'll be replayed on YouTube compilations till kingdom come and you deserve it, mate.
I'm Jimmy Glass. I can't buy a painting
sometimes. Now we're back on glass again.
Yeah, there we go. This has been the Luke Moore and Pete Shaw, Pete Donaldson Shaw. Can we rebrand ourselves?
As we never call it.
Just in case we never call it. Luke and Pete Shaw, we'll be back on Monday with more nonsense. Have a safe weekend. Look after each other. We'll be back on Monday. Hello at lukeandpeteshaw.com if you want to get in touch. Bye-bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.